Amen. Well, I've got a word for you this morning. Let me see what my time is. Not a lot of time. That's okay. I'm an Italian. I can talk fast. You have to follow, though. All right. You have to listen because I'm not talking too fast. You're listening too slow. All right. So you got to speed up your listening here and stay with me. Turn to your Bibles if you would. You get two options of where you're going to turn in the Word. You can either go to Matthew 6 or you can go to Luke 11. One of those two. We're talking about prayer. And last week, we talked about why prayer is important, why that's something that we need to do. What is prayer, first of all? And I shared with you last week, most everybody knows what prayer is. Whether you've gone to church or not gone to church, whether you have no idea what the Bible says about prayer, maybe you don't even care, but everybody knows what prayer is. One of the other things about prayer, too, is that almost everybody knows a couple of prayers, whether you think you do or not. And one of those is the Lord's Prayer. Most everybody, whether or not, because you see it on TV from time to time, you see the poor guy walking down death row, going, and they've got the minister in front of him mumbling, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or he's doing the 23rd Psalm or something like that, so you see it in the movies. Every once in a while, some guy that's facing inevitable death, an asteroid is coming down. I watch those movies. It's just very strange. Asteroid's coming down, and the guy will stand there and go, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall..." 23rd Psalm, or he'll say, "Our Father who art in heaven," say the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, or at least they think they do. Heard the story of two guys that were talking one time about prayer. And the one guy said to the other, he said, "Yeah, you think you know everything about prayer?" He said, "I'll bet you $10 you don't know the Lord's Prayer." I thought for a minute, he looked down at me and went, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Guy reached in his pocket, took out $10, said, "I didn't think you knew it." Handed it to him. So we think we know what the Lord's Prayer is. But in actuality, the Lord's Prayer is sort of a misnomer. That's not really accurate. The Lord's Prayer is actually found, truth be told, in John 17. That's where the Lord's praying about himself. He's praying about his disciples, and he's praying about other believers because he's getting ready to go to the cross. So he's coming to the Father. This would be more accurately described as the disciples' prayer. And there are two times now that the Lord speaks this prayer. He does the first one, and it's recorded in Matthew 6 on the Mount of Olives when he talks about the Mount of Olives discourse, the Beatitudes a lot of people know this as, begins in the fifth chapter and comes through. And Jesus is teaching, and he begins to teach them about prayer. The other one is in Luke 11, and this one's interesting because this one is actually generated by a question by one of his disciples. His disciples come up to him and they say, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Now, there is no one in the Bible recorded having prayed more than Jesus did. Jesus prayed more than anybody else. The recorded ones, the unrecorded ones. Again, you remember, Jesus often went off by himself to pray, to go and just spend time with his Father. And so the disciples would have seen this, and at some point, one of these disciples, and it doesn't say which one, but one of these disciples had to have thought, "You know, I'm not sure we really know how to pray. How do we pray? We see this guy praying all of the time." Remembering that the disciples sort of knew who Jesus was, but not really. There was still some confusion about this. These guys thought, "Hey, here's our revolutionary leader." We've talked about this before. Some of them thought that Jesus was going to come and he was going to take the Israelites, we're going to fight against Rome and we're going to get rid of these guys and we're going to take back and these Romans aren't going to have us anymore. Here he is. Here's our leader. Start the revolution. And Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Don't hate them. Someone strikes you on the one side, turn. Take it on the other side. Do all that you can to show the love of the Father to one another." And the guys, I'm sure, were looking at each other going, "This is a revolution? How's this work?" And so the disciples sort of knew who Jesus was, but there were questions even amongst themselves, but they watched him praying constantly. And so one of them comes up to Jesus and says, "Teach me how to pray." You see, Jesus changed prayer completely. He changed it because prior to Jesus, when you read in Exodus, when the children of Israel were traveling through the desert, taking laps for 40 years. You know why they were taking laps? Because they weren't allowed to go in until the ones that had been disobedient to God were gone. So they're going through all of the mountains, and they come up to the Mount Sinai. And God says to Moses, Moses, I'm going to come down and my glory is going to come to the mountain. He said, but I want you to make sure that the people of Israel know some things. First of all, they have to prepare themselves. They have to clean themselves. They did all these different things. But the other thing he said was this, don't let anybody come to the mountain. He said, if anybody just even touches the base of the mountain with their foot, they have to die. This was the God that the children of Israel understood him to be, a powerful, distant, somewhat removed God, still cared for them, but whoa, this is, you know, I don't get near God. This is how they understood him to be. So when they prayed to God with deep respect and reverence. Now, we still need to do that today. As a matter of fact, in our culture today, we've gone too far the other way. Now, we have no fear of God in our culture. Nobody fears God. They can't. Look at what's going on. Look at the things that are taking place. Nobody has a fear of God. But in those days in the Old Testament, there was such a fear, such a reverence of God, they wouldn't even say his full name. They wouldn't even write it down. The name of God in the Old Testament there is Yahweh, one of many. And so when they would write his name down, the few times they did, they would omit the vowels from that word because they figured we're not even worthy to write his full name down. So they would write YHWH in our language. They wouldn't even put the vowels in because they were so in awe and knew that if anybody even got close to God, if I touched the foot of the mountain, I'm going to die. That was the relationship they had with God, fear and trembling. The altar was set in a place that only the priests could come in. And then in the Holy of Holies, if anybody touched the Ark of the Covenant, what happened? They died. That was the relationship that the children of Israel had with God. Jesus came. He changed it all. Changed it completely. Because Jesus, when he prayed, said, when you pray, you say, Our Father. That's how it starts. Our Father. That word Father is the word Abba. Now, not the singing group. Don't get excited. I'm not going to break into, what are some, I don't even know any of their songs. Good thing. My wife loves Abba. That's all right. That was for you. But the word Abba in the original Aramaic language, because that's what Jesus spoke, was Aramaic. In the original language, the word Abba means daddy. It means daddy. It doesn't mean righteous, holy Father. It means daddy. Daddy's the kind of guy you sit on his lap. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to do that. Daddy means I sit on your lap. I have a close, intimate relationship with you. This was the relationship that Jesus came and told people now, because of what it is that's about to happen, because of the blood that's going to be shed, Jesus knew that that veil in the temple, remember we talked about that last week, was going to be torn in two, meaning I didn't need a priest, I didn't need an intercessory to go in front of me. I had direct access to God. And in that access, I didn't have to go in there thinking I'm going to die when I go in. I get to go spend time with God as my father, my daddy. Jesus is recorded over 60 times praying and using that term, Abba, when he talks to his father. Because that was the relationship he had with his dad, with his father. And what he is saying is that we have that same relationship with him. There's only one time Jesus did not use the term Abba when he spoke to his father. When he was hanging on the cross, one of the seven words that Jesus is recorded as having said, remember what he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He couldn't call him daddy at that point. Why not? Because he had lost the intimacy with his father because he was covered with the sins that were taken from us. He couldn't have that intimacy with his father. And so he couldn't call him Abba. He couldn't call him daddy. But we do today because of what Jesus did. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to give you the perfect blueprint to pray. You know, a lot of people aren't comfortable praying. Certainly not out loud. And never in front of other people. There's some of you in here might be that way. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but if I were to come along and say, would you mind standing and praying? Most of you would go, no, I would rather sit in a bathtub of scissors than stand up and pray. It's a very strange thing to say. I don't know why that came into my mind just then. I don't think that'll be in my notes. But people don't want to get up and pray. I don't want to do that. I don't even know how to do that. I can't even pray by myself. How can I get up and pray in front of somebody else? And yet, I've told you this before, there is such power in our words when we speak. You know how powerful it is when someone prays with other people, the words that you're praying? Because as you listen, your heart is connected with them. And so those prayers are amplified to the Father because we have many people together doing that. I want this to be a house of prayer. I want this to be a place where every single one of us are comfortable praying, leading someone in prayer. You say, Dave, I could never do that. I could never stand up in front like you do and pray. That's okay. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But when God provides you an opportunity, could you pray with somebody out loud? Pray with them. Pray blessing over them. Pray healing over them. That's what we believe God's calling this church to be, is to be a place of prayer where things change. But in order to do that, we have to know how to pray. So shouldn't speaking to God be just as easy as when I'm talking to Dave? Why can't it be that easy? And yet we shy away from that. We're hesitant. We don't say, well, what am I supposed to say? Well, God has given us the perfect blueprint. And like I said, you see it twice. You see it in Matthew 6 and you see it in Luke 11. The wording is not identical. Don't get nervous about that. It's okay. It was two separate occasions that this was taking place. One was with a group of people. The other was with a conversation with his disciples. But what Jesus is teaching is the same. Now, the Lord's Prayer is divided into two parts. There are seven petitions that are in the Lord's Prayer. Three of them have to do with God. Four of them have to do with us. They're called the Your Petitions, Y-O-U-R, and the Us Petitions. And you'll see what I mean as we begin to go through this together. So wherever you are, you can look at either one of them. I'm working out of Luke 11 is where I am. And let me just read that for us. First verse says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Now Matthew says, and deliver us from evil. What do neither of those say? For thine be the glory forever and ever. Doesn't say that at the end, does it? You know what that is? It's a benediction. It's a benediction. That was added later to that. God's words stop, or Jesus' words stop, at that last piece. And so here's what we do. He first begins by saying, what you need to do when you pray is you need to address our Father. You don't start a conversation just by kind of launching into it, do you? Come up and say, hey, Paul, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. So that's how I start the conversation. I just don't come up and just blurt into something and start in the middle. Jesus is saying that when you come, the first thing that you need to do is to bring yourself to a place of understanding and recognizing who this is that you're speaking to. And it's not that I'm coming before holy God alone. It is that first and foremost. But what else am I doing? I'm coming to my daddy. I'm coming in a personal relationship with him. Friends, can we come to the place where we understand that when we pray, we are talking to our daddy? And the vernacular that you use, the wording that you use, can I encourage you to stop trying to pray in King James English? We don't talk that way anymore. See, I don't like to pray. I don't know how to use the thuses and the these and the thous. Well, that's because we don't talk that way anymore. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the King James Bible. Believe me, we all were raised on that. But what I am saying is that when we talk to the Father, we can talk to him just exactly like we have conversation with someone else. Almost every single morning when I'm driving to work, I'm praying when I drive. Once again, learning how to turn the radio off. And so I like to turn it on every time I get in. But when I drive to work, I say, Father, good morning. I usually start by saying good morning. I want God to have a good morning. Pretty sure he wants me to have a good morning. I say, good morning, Father. Thank you for this beautiful day. You know, I've been struggling with some things here recently. Or, you know, God, we were talking and praying yesterday, and my boys called, and it's just a normal conversation. That's how we can pray. And yet, I think sometimes we think, well, since we're in church, then Pastor Dave prays, and he prays, and, you know, he sounds like he's praying. It doesn't sound like I'm praying when I talk to God. You don't have to sound any particular way. All God wants you to do is just come before him and give him your heart. That's all he's asking you to do. So right now, no charge for this, I'm wiping out all those things that you have always thought about how a prayer has to sound. It doesn't have to sound any way other than you just sharing your heart with the Father. That's all he wants you to do. So the first thing I want to do, I come to the Father and I say, good morning, Father. This is not, now recognize this too. The disciples, when they came to Jesus, didn't say, teach me a prayer. They didn't say that. Because a lot of times for folks, prayer becomes just something that you memorize. You just kind of speak it off the top of your head. You don't even think about it. If you've been to church any time during your life, you've done this. How many times have you stood in a church someplace and you say, okay, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. And we say the Lord's Prayer. Does it have any meaning for us when we say it? It might. But that's not what the disciples were asking. They were not asking Jesus to teach them something to memorize. They were asking Jesus, teach us what it means to really pray to the Father. What does it mean to be able to communicate with Him so that He can know my heart? That's what the disciples were asking. And so the first petition then, he says, first thing you say, hallowed be your name. That's the first, your name. Hallowed just simply means to honor. And Jesus is saying that when you're speaking to your daddy, don't forget who he is. Don't forget that you're praying to Almighty God. Now that's one of the great blessings that we have as Christians today, is that we can come right to the Father, right to him. That when I pray, when I begin to just posture my heart to him, and like I've said to you, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to fold your hands, get on your knees. Especially when you're driving. Don't do that. Anywhere you are, you're at work, you're in the grocery store. Now, I pray a lot when I'm driving because God talks to me when I'm driving. You know how I know this? Because he has people pull out in front of me every single time I'm driving someplace. I'm going to slam my brakes on, and I look behind me, and there's nobody behind me. I go, hey, you could have just waited 6 seconds. I would have been paying. God's talking to me right then. What are you doing? Where does God talk to you? Where are the times that God is just pressing you with things? You know, those are great times just to pray. Father, what do you want me to know here? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to understand? That's the times to do those things. And so he says, hallowed be thy name. The other thing, folks, is this, is that we cannot pray that unless we are willing to give God honor. You can't pray these things unless you're willing to live them in your life. You say, hallowed be your name. Well, how is it that I honor God? Do I honor him with the things that I say? Do I honor him with the things that I do? Do I honor him by the way I love the people around me? I don't need to say more about that. Second thing Jesus says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. That's the second your. What Jesus is saying now, first thing we have to acknowledge is this. God's kingdom is not fully reigning on earth yet. Not yet. It will, but it's not here yet. Why do we need to understand that? Because once again, and we've said this so many times, as Christians, we need to understand that every single day we're walking out doing the things that we do, folks, we're in a battle. We're in a battle every day. Say, what kind of battle are you talking about? I'm being tempted constantly with things in my life that want to take me away from the things of the Word, from the way I'm supposed to act, the way I'm supposed to think, the things that I should and should not say. Every day, I am being tempted by those things. This is why we have the armor. This is why we put that armor on that we read in Ephesians every single day. So we call for God's kingdom to come, so that we can submit our lives to him, knowing that his kingdom will be here. It's also a hope for us. It is for me. You know, sometimes I just get weary. Sometimes I just want to lay down and go, you know, I don't want to keep fighting this battle. I'm tired. And yet we can hold to the fact, to the knowledge, and you've heard me say this before, that with the battles that we fight, the war has been won. The ultimate victory has been won. We have that. The question is going to be, how am I going to proceed through my life in showing who Jesus is, in being victorious of not giving in to temptation into my life? Your kingdom come. The last one then, he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is a powerful part of this prayer because what it's doing is a number of different things. First of all, it is we're not asking God to change his will in order to fit our lives. That should not be our prayer. Secondly, we should not be asking God to bless my will. What I am doing is asking that his will be done. What does that mean for us? It means that there are going to be times when things that I want to do, things that I would like to be a certain way, I'm going to need to lay them aside. in order to say to Jesus, Father, I want to have your will in my life. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows that in just a few moments, there's going to be soldiers coming to arrest him. And he is going to have to endure some of the worst physical pain and torture devised by man. The worst of it. Because I can guarantee you that those soldiers were really enjoying their work. They were enjoying this. And Jesus is kneeling and he's praying for the last time. And if you know the story, Jesus is saying, God, if there is any other way that I can do this without having to go through what I know I'm going to have to go through, let's do that. Jesus is praying this. And I think a lot of times we sort of get confused and think, well, you know, Jesus was walking around and he had this glow and there was a frisbee over his head and his bathrobe and his flip-flops and he's walking and doesn't have feelings about anything that was going on. The Bible says Jesus was very much a man. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross as a man. He didn't want to endure physically what he was going to have to do. How do I know that? Because he was asking God, please, if there's any other way. But what was the next sentence that he said? Probably even before he inhaled, was, your will be done, not mine. Folks, that's a high bar to come to, I understand. But that should be a place that each of us this morning should be desiring to come to. Father, not my will, your will be done. Jesus said, when you pray, you should pray that every time. Your will, not my will, be done. And then we have the four us's then that we pray. And I'll do these quickly. The three yours, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So the first part of prayer, it is we're directing towards him. That should be the priority anyway, should it not? His priorities should be over ours. But then Jesus says, now, pray about the things that are going on in your own life. The first one, give us this day our daily bread. Now, understand, yes, he is talking about physical needs that we have. And I don't want to discourage us in any way from going to God and saying, God, these are my needs. He wants us to share this. He wants us to bring those things to him. He's the giver of all things. Why would we not? And yet sometimes I think we think, well, you know, if I pray a real pious prayer, if I'm not asking for anything, then God will kind of see me. It's like when you're a little kid and you figure with Santa Claus, you can fool him from about November to the end of December. I'm going to be really nice to my brothers and sisters, be nice to people, and then I'll get really good gifts. That's not what this is about. What this is about is bringing to the Father the needs that we have physically. But what is also being talked about here are our spiritual needs as well. Because what does Jesus say? In the Word, he says in John 6:35, what does he call himself? The bread of life. He is our bread of life. So that's bread for us physically, but it's also bread for us spiritually. So that we can, as Ephesians says, we can stand in the times when things come against us. Folks, things are going to come against us all the time. I'm sure there's not one of you in here that can't sometime in the last 24 hours go, I didn't enjoy that. That was hard. I didn't like that. When he is our bread of life, we have the ability to be able to stand, not because of my strength, but because of him in me, to deal with anything that it is that's coming. Anything. Second one then, he says, forgive us our sins. I could take 2 months to talk about this. I'm not. Don't get nervous. I got the watch up here. I know what time it is. It's all right. But there's two aspects of this as well that are very important. The first one is this. Obviously, we need to ask God to forgive us our sins. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, whatever it is that's taking place, we need to come before God every single day and ask him to forgive us. But you know what else we need to do? We need to ask him to help us to forgive others. That's just as important. It's just a little bit below. We need to come and make our lives right before him. But then, if there's things in our lives, because then in Matthew, you read this, he goes on and he says, listen, this is how important it is that you forgive other people. If you forgive them, my Father will forgive you. Watch this. If I don't forgive him, what? God's not going to forgive me. So you mean God's attitude toward me is also dependent on my attitude towards other people? Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. And so this morning, if you're walking around and you've got unforgiveness in your heart, can I encourage you to ask God to come and to work in you in that? To release those things? I keep telling you I'm going to do this, and I'm going too soon. I'm going to preach on forgiveness. Because this is so important that it's something that we need to fully understand. And there is freedom in offering forgiveness to people. And not just freedom, but there's God's love that comes and says, now I can forgive. Now my prayers have impact when I release those things to Him. And here's the last one. He says, lead us not into temptation. Now that word, that can be a little bit confusing sometimes, because first thing is he going, wait a minute. I got to ask God not to tempt me? Is that what you're saying? No, that's not what this is saying. James 1:13 says this. It says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone else. So things of evil, and when we think of tempting, we think of moving into things that are evil and not right. God will not bring those things. God doesn't bring those. As a matter of fact, the word tempt in here that it's talking about is more along the line of when trials come into our lives. And that's a very different thing. God will allow trials to come in. And the scripture tells us, again in James, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith does what? Produces perseverance. Patience and perseverance. And yet when we are in the presence of God trying to understand what it is that we're dealing with, we can cry out to Him every time and say, Father, take this away from me. Don't give me more than I can handle. Now, the Bible says that He won't do that. He doesn't give us more than we can handle. But we can ask Him every day, Father, whatever it is that's going to be coming, deliver me from the trials, from the evil. And then in Matthew, he also says, deliver us from the evil itself. And most translations agree that Jesus is talking about Satan in that, the evil one. Because again, we're in a constant battle with him. We're constantly battling against the enemy. And Jesus knew that through our lives, we were going to need to struggle with those things, that temptation was going to come. And so he provides for us this blueprint that when we pray, we can know exactly how it is that we're to go to him. And to say, first of all, you are my father, you're my daddy. I mean, that's the way I want to start. That's the posture of my heart that I want to present is, God, I need to come and I just need you to hear me. Maybe I need to ask you to put your arms around me because I know that things are difficult and I need now to come into your presence. And the first thing I'm going to do is just praise you and say, holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. Can you begin your prayers instead of going and going, God, how you doing? Okay, here's my list. And here's my list of things I have. Can you start your prayers by first going, God, you're awesome. You are wonderful. Thank you. Start with a thank you list instead of a want list. Start by just saying, God, thanks for the beautiful day. Thank you, God, for my life. Thank you for health. Thank you for my family, for my children. Thank you for my grandbaby that's going to be coming soon. Thank you for my little ones. Thank you for my job. Thank you, God, for providing for me. Thank you for the ability and the privilege of worshiping you. We live in a land, folks, and boy, this place is not perfect by any means, but we can do this morning without fear of the government coming and telling us to get out. Or taking us to jail, or killing us. Christians everywhere around the world today are being killed, are being martyred for their faith. We can come here every single Sunday without fear. That's a blessing. That's a privilege. And so when we pray, and with this I'll close, prayer should follow this very simple blueprint. First, begin by focusing on who you're speaking to. Second, focus on His priorities first. Father, what do you want for my life? Your kingdom come, your will be done for me. And then present your petitions to Him. He wants to know. He wants you to share your heart with Him. Pour yourself out. You know, there isn't anything you can tell God that you can't tell Him. There's nothing you can't say to Him. I think sometimes, again, we think we have to have, you know, we have to kind of clean this up a little bit. You can tell God whatever you need to tell Him. Because I got a flash for you. He already knows. He already knows. You can tell Him anything. Be honest with Him. And then ask for His pardon. Ask for forgiveness. Not just forgiveness for you, but to give you the ability to give forgiveness to others that have hurt you. Recognize your need for His protection. We need Him every day. We need that armor over our lives. We need His protection. We need His angels to minister around us. We're going to talk about angels somewhere down the road. Say, Pastor Dave, you believe in angels? Of course I do. It's in the Scripture. It's in the Bible. Say, well, angels don't happen today. Well, why not? There's no time limit on these things. God is still God. And then the last thing is this, is to give Him the glory. Give Him the thanks. I know, again, in the Scripture it doesn't say that benediction is not included there, but boy, what a great way to finish when you pray. Just finish by saying, God, thanks. Thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you, God, that your will be done in my life. It may not look exactly like I want it to. I may not even get the answer that I want, but I trust you. I trust you because you know what's best for me. And you want the things that are going to take place in my life to be there to give you glory and to give you honor. Amen. Well, let me ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment. Because I want to pray this morning, and I want to pray through this blueprint this morning as a way to be able to encourage you that when you leave this place today, that you will, number one, desire to want to spend more time with Him. Spend more time with God. Again, you don't have to be in church. You don't have to be sitting in a room someplace. You can be anywhere at any time doing anything. You can pray right there. You know, sometimes the easiest prayer which you can pray is Jesus. Just say the name Jesus. The power in the name of Jesus. You can't think of anything else to say. Say Jesus. You're sitting down with your Bible. You go, okay, I want to spend some time in prayer. I can't think of anything to say. Do you know you can pray the Scripture? Pray the Scripture. Find some Scripture in there that means something to you and just speak it out loud. There's power in that. There's power in that. And so, Father, we come before you this morning thanking you. You are an awesome and a mighty God. You are deserving of our praise, Father. We don't deserve in and of ourselves to come to you this morning, but because of the sacrifice that you gave of your Son, the shed blood, we can come to you boldly this morning and bring our hearts. And so we just thank you, Father. We thank you, God. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Father, I pray for each of us here this morning that you would come and meet each of our needs. I pray, Father, that we would not hold back these things, that we would be open, that we would be honest, that we would search our hearts to be able to pray things to you, Father, in a way that is going to present to you who we are, knowing that you know us anyway. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins this morning. God, there's so many times when we're so short of what we should do, whether it's our actions, our words, our hearts. Father, we just want to walk in the fullness with you at all times. And Father, in that, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody that has wounded me, that you would help me, Father, to be able to offer forgiveness to them. Not just in my words, but in my heart. Father, we know we need you to protect us every day. I pray that you would watch over us, even as we leave this place. Guard us and protect us, Father. Send your ministering angels to watch over, to give us strength, Father, through you. And Father, I pray that in all of this, that we will always thank you, always give you the glory for everything that's done in our lives. Father, you are an awesome and a mighty God, and we love you. Father, teach us to pray. Show us, Father, how to spend that time with you so that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we are walking in the center of your will. Father, I pray your blessing over each and every one of my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for these little ones, Father. Thank you, God, for love and for family. And God, as we leave this place today, go before us, protect us, guard our hearts, Father, I pray. And may we return next week filled with desire to want to know you even better. It's in your precious Son's name that we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen and amen.